Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Thomas J. Segrue's The Origins of the Urban Crisis: Race and Inequality in Postwar Detroit is a landmark work of urban history and American social history. Centered on Detroit, it explains how a city once celebrated as the arsenal of democracy became a symbol of post-industrial decline. Rather than treating the 1967 rebellion as the starting point of disaster, Segrue traces the roots of urban crisis back to the post-war decades, showing how housing discrimination, job segregation, deindustrialization, and capital flight shaped life in the city long before the most visible collapse. The book examines how institutional and often legalized racism restricted African-American opportunity while also reshaping white working and middle-class politics, suburban growth, and the geography of opportunity. As an updated edition, it remains relevant not only as a history of Detroit, but also as a broader explanation of racial inequality and metropolitan change in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Detroit's decline began in the post-war years, not with the 1967 rebellion. One of the book's central arguments is chronological Detroit did not suddenly enter crisis in 1967. Segrue shows that the conditions usually associated with urban collapse were already forming in the 1940s and 1950s, when industrial change, suburban relocation, and racial division were weakening the city from within. This matters because it changes the meaning of crisis itself. Instead of seeing the rebellion as a cause of decline, the book treats it as a symptom of deeper economic and political transformations. That approach pushes readers to look at long-term structures rather than dramatic events. The city's problems emerged from the slow erosion of manufacturing employment, the movement of jobs and investment outward, and the inability of Black Detroiters to access equal opportunities in housing and work. By relocating the origin of crisis earlier in time, Segrue also challenges simplified narratives that blame the 1960s alone for urban decline. Secondly, racial exclusion in housing made neighborhood inequality a core urban battleground. The book gives unusual weight to housing because it was one of the main arenas in which race and class were contested in post-war Detroit. Segrue examines restrictive covenants, segregated public housing, discriminatory lending, and the struggle over open housing as mechanisms that locked African-American residents into overcrowded and less secure neighborhoods. Housing was not just a social issue, but a key system through which inequality was reproduced across generations. It determined access to schools, environmental conditions, property ownership, and political influence. The fight over where people could live also revealed the political power of white homeowners, neighborhood organizations, and real estate interests, all of whom often resisted integration in the name of protecting property values and local control. Segrue shows that this made residential space a central battleground over post-war citizenship. In that sense, the book explains Detroit's crisis not simply as economic contraction, but as a struggle over the distribution of urban space and the racial meaning of home ownership. Thirdly, labor markets and workplace discrimination limited Black upward mobility. Segrue connects the city's decline to job discrimination in ways that go beyond general claims about deindustrialization. He shows that African Americans in Detroit often faced exclusion from the best industrial jobs, especially in the skilled and better paid sectors that provided middle class stability for many white workers. Even in a city built on manufacturing, access to work was deeply shaped by race, union practices, employer hiring decisions, and apprenticeship systems. This meant that economic growth did not translate into equal advancement. The book is important because it complicates the idea that the post-war factory city was automatically a shared source of prosperity. Instead, Detroit's labor system distributed opportunity unevenly, leaving many Black workers concentrated in lower paid, less secure positions. When manufacturing later contracted, those disparities became even more damaging. Segrue therefore links labor history to civil rights history, showing that workplace discrimination was not a side issue, but a major force shaping social inequality and urban instability. Fourthly, deindustrialization was accelerated by suburbanization, capital flight, and technological change. Another major contribution of the book is its explanation of economic restructuring. Segrue argues that industrial decline was not simply the result of late-century globalization or the collapse of one company, but a longer process in which firms moved operations to suburbs and smaller towns, sought cheaper and more flexible labor conditions, and introduced labor-saving technologies. Capital followed these changes, draining the city of tax base, jobs, and future investment. This analysis is significant because it shows how metropolitan development was spatially uneven. Prosperity was not disappearing so much as being relocated. Detroit was left with a shrinking industrial core while surrounding suburban areas gained jobs, infrastructure, and political power. The result was a metropolitan order that reinforced inequality between city and suburb. By emphasizing these shifts, Sagru demonstrates that urban decline is produced through decisions made by employers, investors, and public officials, not by a single moment of social unrest. The book therefore reframes deindustrialization as a structural transformation tied to race and geography. Lastly, the book explains how white political backlash shaped the city's future. Sagru does not present Detroit's history as only a story of black exclusion. He also shows how many white residents, especially those in the working and middle classes, reacted to changing racial and economic conditions by defending neighborhood boundaries, suburban privilege, and access to home ownership. This backlash mattered because it influenced local politics, housing policy, and the limits of reform. White resistance to open housing and integration was often tied to fears about status loss, property values, and the erosion of post-war security. The book's historical power lies in showing that race was embedded in ordinary institutions and everyday decisions, not just in overt acts of hatred. That means urban crisis cannot be understood through policy failure alone. It was also produced by political choices made at the neighborhood and metropolitan level. By connecting white backlash to deindustrialization and housing segregation, Sagru offers a broader account of how racial inequality became durable in post-war America and why urban reform proved so difficult. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in urban history, American race relations, labor history, housing policy, or the long-term causes of metropolitan inequality. It is especially valuable for scholars, students, journalists, policymakers, and readers trying to understand why post-war American cities changed so unevenly. Its practical value lies in showing that urban decline is rarely the result of one event or one bad decade. Instead, it develops through connected processes: labor market exclusion, segregated housing, capital relocation, and political resistance to integration. That makes the book useful for interpreting not only Detroit, but also many other industrial cities. What sets it apart from similar books is its refusal to make 1967 the starting point of the story. Sagru reconstructs the prehistory of crisis with exceptional clarity, demonstrating that inequality was built into the city's post-war recovery. The updated edition keeps that analysis relevant by linking it to Detroit's later fiscal troubles and broader debates about urban revitalization. Readers looking for a concise morality tale will find a more demanding but far more revealing history, one that explains how race and economics were intertwined in shaping the modern American city. If you would like to support Thomas J. Sagru, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.